be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. And while you're doing that, I need to change something. I apologize for that. The problem is this background that we're seeing of the Bible there, and it shows on the online, it's just bright. And so that's why we usually have that. But I didn't take that off of the previous, so now I think it's going to be there through the rest of the service because I can't figure out how to get rid of it. Okay, so we just pray God's going to just keep that good for the people who are watching and not overwhelm them. So Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43. I don't think I've ever seen this read in a regular church service. I suspect you maybe have gone to church your whole life and have gone without seeing this particular passage because it's not a very popular subject. But here it is in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. When it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation. And this is the word of the Lord. Wow. I suspect there's many people, maybe not familiar with the Bible, that have never read these verses. So you can go home to your own Bible and check them out. And, you know, they're really there. It's really there. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul wrote this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What Paul is saying is keep in mind when we're confronting with other human beings, he says our battle's not really against those people. These people are not the enemy. The enemy is that which is working in them and through them. And we need to keep that in mind. Our battle is against cosmic powers and spiritual forces of evil. It's not against the human flesh and blood. Well, what does this mean for us, particularly in light of today and the events we see going on in the world? I believe, as we just read and heard in Matthew, it means that evil spirits can inhabit human beings, and that through these human beings, they are trying to destroy our country, our church, and our families. So evil spirits can affect and influence human behavior. Now, Jesus routinely cast out evil spirits from men, women, and even children. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, Paul cast out an evil spirit of divination from a girl, a slave girl. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the evil spirit came out at that moment. It's interesting, as I was reading through the Acts, I've been reading through Acts of the Apostles recently, how often things such as this resulted in a riot that turned violent. There's six or seven times in the Acts of the Apostles at Ephesus and elsewhere in Jerusalem that Paul is proclaiming the gospel or whatever, and all of a sudden a riot breaks out. It's like this mob mentality, and many times it becomes violent, and they beat people up and destroy things. So I thought, wow, the stuff we're seeing today, this mob, you know, violence, is something that's been in human nature forever. And so we see it in the scriptures. Again, go through the Acts of the Apostles and see how often something that Paul did resulted in a riot starting. And they get these rabble-rousers, they says, and it stirs them up against Paul and against the church. So evil spirits are here. They manifest themselves in many ways. First and foremost, they manifest themselves in liars. Satan is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. We're told in John chapter 8, verse 44. In Matthew 5, 37, Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes, and your no, no." Anything more than that, he said, comes from evil or from the evil one. Evil spirits also manifest themselves by stealing, killing, and destroying. We're told in John chapter 10, verse 10. Evil spirits can be violent. We're told in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That sounds pretty nasty, and it is. In our Acts reading, we just heard from Acts chapter 19, the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out an evil spirit like Paul did. But they were not believers of Jesus, trying to use the name of Jesus and the power of the name but not being believers. And so the evil spirit spoke to them, we're told, spoke, and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And he jumps on them, he overpowers them, and they go running out of the building naked and wounded. So we're seeing a very violent response by this evil spirit. Remember the story of Jesus who went across the lake to the land of the Gadarenes, across where was basically the Gentile territory. And in one respect, there was one man, but the other two men were there, lived among the tombs. And they were so violent that people could not pass that way, is what we're told. And of course, Jesus goes, he casts them out, he tells them into the pigs, and the herd of pigs goes and runs down into the lake and drowns. But they were so violent that nobody could pass that way. So again, we see evil spirits and the resulting violence. We're told also that evil spirits blind the minds of unbelievers. Sometimes we have loved ones and we wonder, why can't they see what we see? Why can't they understand the truth? Why can't they see the gospel? Well, Paul says they have a veil over their eyes and that they're actually blinded by evil spirits. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Evil spirits cause people to depart from the faith. What a strong statement that is. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, they depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons. And what are the teachings of demons? That means there are evil spirits speaking through preachers. And they're hearing this stuff, and it's leading people astray, leading them away from Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 tells us, in the story, remember the parable of sowing the seeds. Some fell among the ground and the thorns, and some fell along the path and so forth. And we're told, anyone who hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the person's heart. So we actually see the effect of the enemy, Satan and his demons, affecting people and their ability to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:26, evil spirits capture unbelievers to do the devil's will. He captures them to do his will, unknowingly, I believe. Evil spirits are at work in the sons of disobedience, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2. Now, I don't want to imply, and I should have made this clear in the scriptures, that not everything is attributed to evil spirits. That there are human emotions that are then built upon by evil spirits. And one of the most significant ones that's revealed to us in Scripture is that of anger. Anger is a very powerful, very dangerous human emotion. So the things were going on, you know, in our country, there is a human anger at things that are happening or maybe not happening. You know, this call for justice and police brutality and all that. There is an anger there. But then what we see is the enemy will then contribute or pile on top of that anger to the point that it becomes violent. Paul wrote in to the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Or another translation is, "Give no foothold to the enemy." So we have this anger rises up, and what it does is then the enemy can come along and jump on, starts to turn maybe thoughts of anger or violence in response to that. So it's not totally, you know, evil spirits. I don't want to say that. There's also very much a big part of human behavior that's in that, particularly anger. And I just want to share, I remember a personal experience with this going back years ago. I was age about 23, I think. We were in the Coast Guard, Debbie and I, and our first duty station was up in Alaska. And up in Alaska, there was kind of this friction between, you know, the people who were not native Alaskans and those who were native Alaskans. The oil industry was just booming, and they were giving people basically free money, and alcoholism was rampant, and these local natives were just, you know, just running things. And again, 23 years old, I'd never owned a gun, although I had training certainly in the Coast Guard, but I bought a gun while I was up there, and I went out for target practice, and I'm driving back and going through town, which is just a two-lane road. They didn't even have a passing lane or anything, just two lanes. So I'm driving by, and this guy in front of me stops, gets out of his car, and goes and starts talking to one of his buddies on the sidewalk. Just stops right in the middle of the road and gets out and starts talking to one of his buddies. And just this anger came over me, like, who does this guy think he is? Just stopping traffic because he wants to get out and talk to one of his buddies? That gun was on the side, on the seat next to me. And a thought came in my mind to shoot this guy. It was scary. It was like, oh my, where did that thought come from? It wasn't a voice, but it was something inside of me that said, yeah, you got a gun, go ahead, shoot him. My goodness, a guy stops in a car to talk to his buddies, and I have a thought that I'm going to shoot this guy? That's crazy. It was something beyond me. I just absolutely believe that, something beyond me. A good believer, a Christian guy, you know, and yet the enemy still put that thought and that urge for me. And I just have thoughts that that happens. Things happen so quickly in these things. We saw this incident yesterday down in Atlanta. You know, a guy fell asleep in the drive-in for Wendy's. So he's blocking traffic, and he falls asleep. So they call the police. The police come here. The guy's asleep in the car. And so like, hey, buddy, what's happening? What's doing? You know, it turns out he had been drinking. So they have him pull over to one of the parking places, and they start talking to him. They start going through the sobriety testing, you know, because he'd been driving. How many drinks have you had and so forth, and walking the line and all that. And he did a breathalyzer and flunked, so he did not pass a sobriety test. So there's two officers there, so they start to arrest him and put handcuffs on him. Well, he starts to resist. And so now they're wrestling. These two officers are wrestling with this guy. If you see the video of this, it's really disturbing to watch. Wrestling with this guy on the ground, and one of the officers pulls out a taser to tase the guy, and the guy grabs the taser, grabs it away from the officer. So now this guy's got the taser. Well, he gets up, throws these guys off, gets up, starts running away. And the one officer's running after him and pulls out his weapon. And the guy kind of turns back and makes a motion like he's going to taser the guy, and the cop shot him. And he died. This was yesterday. And the guy died. Now, why the guy would resist the, you know, what, maybe he was still drunk, who knows, whatever, but that, you know, why, I don't know. Why the cop felt, you know, he was angry. You know, this guy had been wrestling with him, trying to do it. He's now running away. He's got our taser. And I can see with this split second, this anger is like, shoot him, you know, the voice. Well, that, of course, leads to more. Then the mob came later on the night, and they burned down that Wendy's. Right in Atlanta. So this stuff is kind of getting close to home. Again, I'm not saying it's all evil spirits, but I absolutely believe there's always a spiritual element to the things that we're seeing happening in our country. It's horrible. It's disturbing. And you wonder, how can this be going on? Well, at least partly, I believe there is this thing about evil spirits, particularly when it has to do with anger. I think that's what we're seeing. A lot of angry people, particularly angry young people, and they're resorting to the things, you know, playing this out, and I believe with the help of these evil spirits. Now, what's to make this all even worse is that Satan's servants disguise themselves as apostles of Christ and masquerade as, quote, servants of righteousness. We're told in 2 Corinthians verses 13 to 14. So they're disguising themselves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, is one way that Jesus described them. They speak twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Ephesians chapter 20, verse 29. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians that we are not unaware of the devil's designs or the devil's schemes. He says, you know, now be careful because we're not unaware of his schemes. Yet I absolutely believe the church, by and large, today is very much unaware of the enemy's schemes and his designs. And so that's causing a lot of trouble because we're not addressing the spiritual element of the violence and the hatred and the divisions we're seeing in our country. It's just not being addressed. And so I think it's very appropriate because it's biblical. Now, there's good news. The good news is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that the reason Jesus came to earth was to destroy the works of the devil. One of the reasons he came, he appeared, was to destroy the works of the devil. And so we have power in the name of Jesus. As when Paul was casting out an evil spirit of divination in Acts chapter 16, remember with this girl that had this spirit of divination, which is fortune-telling, he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. So we have that power in the name of Jesus over these evil spirits. However, on the other hand, remember the story when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He comes down, he finds this commotion going on. Here was a guy whose son was oppressed by an evil spirit, and it was a mute spirit. And the disciples tried to cast it out, and they couldn't. And they asked Jesus later, how come we couldn't cast it out? Jesus said, this kind can only be cast out by prayer, or one is prayer and fasting. So sometimes it's more than just the name of Jesus. It takes prayer. But we do have that power. But the thing is, we need to learn how to fight the enemy. We need to learn how to fight the enemy. We do have power in us because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We absolutely need to remember that. Write it on our walls, put it on our refrigerator, whatever. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And yet, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that we would stand before the enemy. Put on the armor of God, the belt of truth and so forth, salvation and righteousness. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 6. Also, we need to pray, and pray some more. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. So we have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority through prayer. We have authority through the Scriptures, and the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. But we must pray against these things. Father, deliver us from evil. Now again, I believe these riots that we're seeing, lying politicians and reporters, I mean, who can, you know, believe the news media anymore? I believe that these, at least in part, are manifestations of evil spirits. Not all protests are violent. There are some that are peaceful and well-meaning people just infuriated at the things they see is going on. But there are those that are violent, and those that are violent are being encouraged, enhanced by, I believe, evil spirits, particularly when we see violence, particularly any sign we see death, because that's one of the manifestations of these evil spirits. And so we need to remember when we see this stuff that there is a war going on. We are at war. It is a cosmic war, it is a spiritual war, but it is a war nonetheless. And I was listening to some teachings on this, and one was by Alistair Begg. And he was talking about growing up in Scotland back in the 1950s, and he would still had, you know, very fresh stories of World War II and the rationing that was going on. We had rationing in this country, you know, during the war. And it was still very prevalent in people's minds that there was kind of a cliche that people would keep saying. Somebody would say, oh, I wish I could have an egg. Wish I could have an egg. And somebody else would say, well, you know, there's a war going on. And somebody else would say, oh, I just wish I had some sugar for my tea. And somebody would say, well, you know, there's a war going on. And somebody else would say, well, I just wish I had some pastries. And somebody would say, well, you know, there's a war going on. And that was kind of the cliche. That was the response. Well, you know, there's a war going on. I believe that's applicable to us today. If we look at things that's happening, these riots, and we say, well, how can this be going on? People burning things, people taking over downtown Seattle. How can this be happening? If we hear somebody say that, we could say to them, well, you know, there's a war going on. If we see what's happening, corruption in our government, you know, our intelligence, you know, community trying to, you know, cause things. Basically, it was, I believe, a silent coup to try to overthrow the president. We're seeing more and more of that happening. More evidence is coming out. The corruption in government, the corruption, the things that are happening in our education system, the things that are happening in the courts. It's everywhere, and you look at it all, and you say, my goodness, what's happening? If somebody could be so exasperated by that, and you could say, well, you know, there's a war going on, and we're seeing these evil spirits affect human behavior. We're seeing it all over. I believe even in our own personal lives, in the lives of those around us, love people that we love, we see them struggling. We see them just starting to get ahead, and all of a sudden it seems like another door slams in their face or another thing drops in their lap. And you just wonder, my goodness, what is going on? Where, you know, they're just going and going and trying and being hit from every side. And when we get feeling that way, we think to ourselves, well, you know, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. As I shared last week, C.S. Lewis, every inch of earth and every moment of time has been claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. That's the war that's going on. And if we see it going in the lives of those we love, there's a war going on. And I would dare say too, I won't get into it, but just a personal experience, that even those of us who are full of the Holy Spirit, you know, we're in the Word, we still get slammed sometimes by what Paul calls these fiery darts of the enemy. Fiery darts of the enemy. So we're not immune to it. I believe we can't be possessed by evil spirits having the Holy Spirit, but we can get these fiery darts that the enemy will throw at us, and they hurt, and they disrupt things. And we need to recognize what's happening. Oh, I guess it's because there's a war going on. And so our message today, again, I go to Jesus. Lord, what's the message? And he says, do not be fearful of the things we see going on in the world. And do not worry. And above all, don't let the enemy steal our joy and our peace. These things are happening. The enemy, I believe, as again in Revelation we see, the enemy is kind of throwing everything he's got now because he knows his time is short. I believe that. And so we're seeing things happen. And I actually believe it's going to get worse. It's going to be more. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But one day it will get better. One day Jesus will come again. One day the kingdom of God will be established on earth. And one day again we will have the shalom that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Paradise, to walk with God, and how we long for that day. So let us not lose heart, but understand there's a war going on, but it won't go on forever. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. Things are happening, and those spirits are trying to take it by force. Trying to take it by force. And although things, I believe, will get worse, eventually the best is yet to come, because God is still in control, and he still loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, in the midst of the turmoil, the hatred, the violence, the deceit, the murders, in the midst of it all, Lord, help us to keep strong in our faith as we look to you, the perfecter of our faith. And Lord, let not the enemy steal our joy and our peace as we continue to put our trust in you. Lord, in all things, we proclaim the name of Jesus. We put on the armor of God. We clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we long for that day, Lord. Then you will come and set things right as they were always meant to be. So Lord God, again, we pray for those who suffer, but keep us mindful of this war as we put our trust in you. This we pray in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.